Wednesday, April 23rd, 2014. I actually wrote that down this week. We have an awesome show for you today. We are going to be talking about the book Ready Player One, which is a sort of fantasy sci-fi book about a virtual world, and we'll get into what we thought about that later. It's very popular in MMO circles. We're also going to talk about WildStar's latest patch. They just brought out a huge beta patch with a new UI, new body type, so we'll talk about that, and a big what we've been playing this week, including me talking a lot about how awesome Arcage is. I want to introduce my usual co-host, Aralite and Alindriel, but before I do that, I have some big news, which is that next week, which will be technically Sunday, April 27th, Cat Context is turning 2. We will have done this for 2 years. Good on us. To celebrate, we are going to do an episode that is going to be live streamed on Twitch at 6:30 p.m. PST on Sunday, April 27th. And we also want to do a whole episode of taking your questions. So I'll put a whole bunch of information in the show notes and at the end of the show about how you can contact us. But, you know, Lior blog or find me on Twitter or whatever. However you want to send us your questions, please do. We would love to answer them. If you've got a blog or a YouTube channel or whatever, we will mention it on our show. We don't care. We have no shame. So yeah, more details to come. But Aralite and Alindriel are here with me right now. Aral, how has your weekend been?
It's been awesome. We've had great weather, and I took the Weesters to the park today. That was very exciting. And I replaced a bunch of doorknobs, which was not quite as exciting.
Oh, adulthood.
Well, it's our house. We've got this little bitty starter house that we're trying to sell, and the doorknobs were all these cheap plastic, bright, shiny, fake brass things. Looked awful. So we're replacing them all, and it is a huge, huge pain in the ass.
It's amazing how when you're trying to sell a place, you suddenly worry about all these things that you've lived with happily for years. Ellie, how's your weekend been?
My weekend has been pretty good, too. Unlike certain people on this podcast, I didn't have Friday off, so I'm not on the back end of a three-day weekend. But I wandered around San Francisco yesterday and ate a bunch of cool food in Chinatown and North Beach, and it was really fun.
Awesome. Yes, I did just come off a three-day weekend, which I did surprisingly little gaming, but a lot of cooking. So, look, I win.
So, you know, you could play Cooking Mama, and there you go. It's gaming and cooking.
Yes, but it's surprisingly less delicious. So,
yeah, it's true. And also a lot more frustrating because it's very hard to peel the damn potatoes.
What if you followed the recipes in Cooking Mama and saw what they made in real life?
I'm pretty sure. I actually think I've read someone doing that.
I'm pretty sure that's a blog somewhere. There's no way that's not.
I know. I'm sure that's a Tumblr site, if not something else.
And if someone hasn't done that yet, we need to blank this part out of the podcast and go do it right now, because that's viral gold right there. Okay, so let's start with our top story. Well, top story. Thing that I want to shout about the most today. Which is Ready Player One. So Ready Player One is a science fiction novel by Ernest Cline. The book was published on August 16th, 2011. So the reason why we're talking about this book, even though we're a gamer podcast, is because this book has so much to do. It's been adopted by nerds. It was written by a nerd. It has a lot to do. It's about a virtual world called the Oasis, and there's actually name checks Azeroth and World of Warcraft and EverQuest and Norrath and points. And so it's, even though it's not a game per se, it is very much part of gaming culture, which is why I think it's applicable for this. I should say, I think you two read the book and I listened to the audiobook version by Will Wheaton, read by Will Wheaton, which he did a great job, but that might explain some of my complaints. So I don't know, Ellie, you like the book?
I did. Yeah, I actually really liked it a lot. The best parts about it is that, you know, I grew up maybe a few years too late to have had sort of the exact same path as the creators of Oasis, I guess. I don't know. Like, I played a lot of arcade games. I played a lot of these things. And really the best part about it was just the amount of nostalgia put into the book or put into the text. But yeah, overall, I really enjoyed the story. I mean, you know, it's a relatively straightforward story, I thought. But I don't know. I am not the person who has things to yell about this book, other than that people should read this book.
Well, see, I thought I'd open up the floor so other people could speak before I start yelling. Arrow, how did you generally feel about the book?
I really liked 90% of it. The last chapter made me so angry that it very nearly ruined the entire book for me.
So what? Last chapter starting First of all, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the ending.
Yeah.
as noted. So is the last chapter starts, is the last chapter the sort of final battle?
The epilogue, I guess.
Epilogue. Okay. So
the wrap up made me very angry.
Why? Why? I want to know.
Okay, and fair warning, both Lior and I have English degrees. This is going to take a while.
On the other hand, I do not, but I just talk a lot.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That is like half of an English degree, to be fair.
That's true. It's an Ellie degree.
That's right.
The book spent all of this time building up being a gamer as being a valuable skill, as it being a worthwhile social experience, as all of this stuff. And then in the wrap-up, in the epilogue, you find out that dude has become conventionally attractive. Lady Chick is conventionally attractive. What was her problem? She had a port wine stain? Was that it?
Yeah.
Other than that, she was smoking hot?
No, she wasn't smoking hot. She was odd.
No.
She was described as looking the same as her avatar, and her avatar was intentionally not hot.
They did say that she was Rubenesque, I think was the term that they used.
Like,
I thought that was age.
No, it was Artemis.
H was described as a guy. I mean, H was like a normal, whatever, generic kid the whole time, right?
No, H is a black lesbian.
When H is real person.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the real people here.
Right.
Okay, so Wade is described as just like a scrawny kid the whole time.
Wade spent his entire time in Columbus working out, getting hot and buff.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, fair enough.
And then he hooks up with his hot girlfriend that he's been in love with forever, and they don't want to game anymore because they don't need to game anymore because they're better than that.
Man, I totally read that differently than you, and that was not at all what I thought.
Do you want me to quote
it? That was not at all what I thought you were going to be angry at. That's awesome.
So basically, I don't understand. What makes me angry about it is, how can people laud it as this champion of nerd culture when it's not? The whole denouement is about becoming just like everybody else, just like every other rom-com love story.
I would not disagree with that. I did not necessarily stand out as being one of the angry making things for me, but yeah, no, you're totally right. You're absolutely right. The big sort of lesson at the end is to go offline and experience the real world.
And make sure that you're in a relationship. That's important.
Right. Right. And hot. That's also important. So nerd culture has this thing where they use...
Your face was amazing when you said that.
I'm real sad that my avatar is so smiley.
It has this thing where pop culture references replaces actual culture.
Oh, and Cassandra Clare!
Right. And this book is nothing but pop culture references somehow trying to be played off as like original content. Like at one point, the hero shows up and he's like, yeah, I got a sweet car. It's like the Back to the Future DeLorean mixed with the Ghostbusters car mixed with Kit from Knight Rider. And I'm just like, really?
How does that even work? I mean, I know cars.
What do you mean, how does that work?
How does it physically work?
Like, it has a sweet light-up grill. It has a siren on top and the Ghostbusters thing on the side. And it has Kit inside.
But that doesn't...
Which one did I miss? Oh, and it's got gull wings.
Okay, you can't have gull wings on a hearse, all right? That's the point of the Ecto-1. It's a hearse.
I know it's a hearse, but why can't you have gull wings on it?
Because that's disgusting and it doesn't work.
No, we're all going to customize our skateboards and shit in WildStar to look however ridiculous we want. If you could create your own car in a game, it's totally reasonable that some kid who's like spent his entire life devoted it doesn't have to actually drive. It's a fucking video game.
I know, but Wade is really dumb. That's another thing that made me angry.
there was almost nothing original. Like, there are pages and pages and pages in which he describes, I think it might have been H's study, and it's just, like, references. It's got books by this author, and this author, and this author, and this author, and music by this band, and it felt like, I don't know, a freaking Facebook profile of nerd culture. It was obnoxious. Just listing off streams of pop culture references is not culture.
It's not culture, but it is certainly a way to play to the crowd.
Right, well, exactly. It's like when the band comes on the stage and says, we're so happy to be here in Vancouver. It's the exact freaking same thing. The crowd goes wild then, and we're supposed to do the same thing now. It's pandering bullshit. Okay, I'm going to blow the ending. I'm going to blow the ending of this book, so if you don't want to know, skip forward like a minute. In the end...
Don't listen to the podcast if you don't want to.
The hero saves the day by reciting every single word of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and then he becomes the king of the internet.
And before that, he had to recite every single word of War Games.
Yes. So I've been calling this book Reddit Player One because
I'm... Fuck you. That's terrible.
Because I'm pretty sure... Thank you. I was pretty happy with that.
How long did it take you? You've been holding on to that one for a
while. I have. I've been holding on to that one for like a week and a half because it was good. It was good.
Now, see, he's not nice guy enough, though. He's not nearly creeper enough at Artemis.
No, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so here's my problem. Well, go ahead. You tell you. I'll tell you where I had issues. So, later.
Well, I mean, aside from the fact that it's just like, it's just a list of references, it's, you know, I mean, it's pandering. Not only that, but the hero, there's no, like, it's written poorly, not just language-wise, because I think it's possible to tell a good story and not be a good writer. One of my favorite authors is Philip K. Dick, who I think is a terrible writer, but a great storyteller. But the hero is already an expert at everything. There is, I mean, even like, he at one point he got a perfect game of Pac-Man, and he was just kind of like, yeah, so I gave it a couple tries and got a perfect game of Pac-Man. There are like 10 people in the world have ever done that before.
Didn't he, like, he spent like 12 hours doing it.
Yeah, but still, like, there was
I know,
no
it's
challenge
12 hours,
at
it's 12
any
hours is pretty not, yeah.
He was just as yeah. adept at, I don't know, reciting every word of War Games as he was at sneaking into the head corporation and hacking into their intranet. Like, there was, this kid was good at everything. At no point did I ever worry about his fate, ever. He never failed. Ever.
But the one time he did fail, he didn't actually fail, because he had his free life.
Exactly. So even then, he at one point everyone dies in the virtual world, but no, he happened to have a free life, so he came back. He's the biggest Mary Sue ever.
That's kind of true.
I mean, I never felt like he had to, like, he's supposed to be a poor kid, you know, live on the wrong side of the tracks, and so he's, you know, absorbing all this 80s culture as sort of his escape from reality and blah, 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 which is fine, but there is no sense that he ever actually had to struggle or work at any of this at all. Even when he discovers the magical keys, which I guess I should have mentioned as the structure of the book, is they're supposed to go on an Easter egg hunt and win, I don't know, like $800 billion or something.
There's also another interesting tie-in to this, part of the name drop nostalgia. I don't know if you guys are familiar with, in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a book called Treasure, which was a picture book, absolutely stunningly beautiful picture book, that was a treasure map. And you had to solve these incredibly obscure clues to find this, I don't know, million-dollar gold-jeweled rabbit that ended up being buried somewhere in England.
I remember that.
That was a huge craze for a while. There were, I mean, my mom was really into it because she loves puzzles. But there were, you know, mailing lists and, you know, e-zines and all that, clubs that would get together to try and figure out the clues in this picture book.
Not just in the, say, 70s or 80s. And actually, I think that that would be a really cool thing if that was the thing that inspired it. But there were a couple of other those kinds of contests.
Right, but Treasure was the first one. Okay. There was a whole phase up through the mid-80s. There was another one that was a horse.
There was one in the 90s or something to find a car somewhere, wasn't there?
Well, this Ernest Cline had one to find a car, and it was another DeLorean.
There was an Easter egg associated with this book.
All right. Well, yeah, so my, you know, the going back to the writing, I think you're actually make a pretty good point about this storytelling. When you think about it that way, it's... definitely true. But on the other hand, I'm pretty easily distracted, and pretty easily entertained, and willing to read things that are sort of fun. And I mean, like, the nostalgia play is fine, right? To some degree. And, you know, I thought my actual biggest problem with it was that, like, I got so fucking annoyed listening to, like, some 16 or 17-year-old kid whine about his problems because I thought that the writing actually made that part of it come across a few notable times. And, you know, that was the part that, like, I ended up sort of not really caring about Wade for large parts of the book because I just thought he was kind of like, oh, I'm gonna win, and like,
there were so many places where he could have made interesting points about technophobia and classicism and, you know, the fate of the world and thinking about the future, and so many places where it could have been truly great. And it ended up, let's throw in another quote from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, at the very end of the book, after Wade wins the internet, and a wizard shows up to give him advice.
A literal wizard.
And he says, and I wrote this down because I'm just like, this is 16 hours of my life for listening to the audiobook. He says, quote unquote, the wizard, his grand moment, he's imparting his wisdom to Wade to pass on so Wade can be the wizard. Quote unquote, reality is real. Thank you, book. Thank you. Thank you for that.
And it's actually really, there are things in the world of the book that are really terrible. Like, I mean,
like living in the stacks.
The stacks, I thought that was one of the coolest part of the books. I thought the description of the stacks was actually interesting dystopian content.
Oh, totally. And I am like a huge lover of dystopian, you know, near future dystopian writing. Like, that's my favorite genre, which is why, going back to Orwell and stuff, like, those are some of my favorite books. But like, I read this like right around the, I finished it like sort of right before Facebook bought Oculus, which was like weird, you know, real life tie-in, you know, to dystopian future for me. And it's part of the reason I was so disappointed with that purchase, honestly. You know, I mean, I think if we ignore the fact that the author could have said a lot of things more interesting, there is a lot of interesting discussion to be had about things that the book reminds us of. He's not the first person to make, you know, the metaverse, but it is a probably more culturally popular version, at least right now. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can see society kind of taking a turn. I mean, it's not that awkward to see society turn that way, and go into some sort of, I mean, to have some of these things happen. So I think there's a lot to discuss that's real, regardless of whether the book itself leads you there and discusses it.
Honestly, if you want to read near dystopia based in a virtual world, Snow Crash is so much better.
I was just going to say, read Snow Crash. Read Riamdi, his other later one about an MMO developer, which is great, great book, and actually talks about, like, you know, international disparity and whatnot. It's a great book.
And Diane Duane has a series called Omnitopia, which is also about near dystopia and then a virtual world.
Okay. But I mean, like that's true, and...
Oh, no, I wasn't saying those are... Okay, well, they are better, but if that's what you like, right, here, these are other books that approach it in a different way.
Right.
And I think Snow Crash was probably the first.
Snow Crash, the first? I think so, too.
I know he invented Avatar.
Right. Isn't that where the metaverse came from?
The term metaverse, yeah.
Did that come from Snow Crash?
That's my... I think so.
I know, like, Snow Crash and before that, like, Neuromancer, they're both sort of heavily mined for naming conventions. Ready Player One is basically Twilight for nerds.
Oh my god,
no,
it is.
Oh, man.
Oh.
That's totally not true. Because that...
Oh, it is... It's completely true, and I actually really had a lot of fun with most of it, except for the end making everything suck. Because, I mean, if you want, it was great bathtub reading because I didn't have to really think about it because he was using all those cultural shortcuts. And 80s nostalgia is really big right now. Yeah. Like, there's an 80s version of The Wonder Years on
I can't fucking believe that show's on. That pisses me off every time I see it. I'm like, God damn.
Called The Gold... It's actually really funny, but I had to stop watching it because it occurred to me, holy shit, this must be what my mom felt like when I was watching The Wonder Years.
To be fair, part of the reason I probably feel so vitriolic about Ready Player One is because I listened to the audiobook, so as opposed to, like, skimming over pages I didn't care about, I actually had to give up 16 hours of my ear time to the book and not skip over things. I'm just like, hurry up, Will Wheaton, hurry, get to the good stuff.
It probably took me that long to read it, though, so.
Well, yeah, so I probably feel a little more snarky about it, because if I had just skimmed it, maybe I would have liked it better.
That's ebook, so great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, those are all my notes about Ready Player One. It was, and the giant robot fight! No, okay! They have the giant robot dragon where they all have, like, robot dragons at the end. And they can't just have, like, robot dragons. They'll have to be like, no, my robot dragon's from, like, an obscure Japanese cartoon. Like, shut up with your pop culture references.
Robot dragons are from obscure Japanese cartoons that aren't really that obscure.
Plus, they had the Japanese characters, because, of course, because this is, like, the biggest otaku novel ever. They had the Japanese characters who were, like, obsessed with honor and bowing. Yep, that's Japan. Way to sum that one up, Ernest Cline.
Yeah, and the guy was actually, wasn't he, like, for reals a salaryman, the one that they murdered?
I think it was a hikikomori.
Yeah,
that was the thing, yeah.
I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
Basement-dwelling nerd in Japan, basically.
Can't pass the college entrance exams, don't want to go out and get a job.
There were two of them.
Yes, yes. Well, the one who died.
Well, one was actually a kid.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and they pretended to be brothers online because, hey, do you know my friend from Japan?
I know, I'm just like, really? 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 Yeah, okay, you know, yeah, anyway.
Well, I will say that there's an interesting parallel to be made between Wade's early exploits in Oasis and what it's like to join an MMO like Eve.
And especially H having a dude avatar and presenting his male on the internet. I really liked that.
I thought that was really cool. I thought that was really well done. Absolutely. Yeah, and when that reveal happened and the way that Wade reacted is awesome. I mean, he's just sort of took it in stride and was like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, we're friends. That's cool.
I have to admit that it took me a while to figure out that the handle was actually H, which made sense in because I wasn't listening to an audiobook where I'm sure it was pretty straightforward.
How is it spelled? I was like,
A-E-C-H. So I thought his name was like Eck. And so I called him Eck through half the movie. God damn it.
That's coming soon.
It has been optioned by Warner Brothers as a movie. I'm trying to imagine how they're going to have the kid doing every line of War Games and Monty Python.
They'll just change it to old Warner Brothers movies. It'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no problem. Anyway, Ready Player One. Thumbs down! Big thumbs down!
I'm still thumbs-upping it. I would totally...
Don't read the end.
No, read the end. Don't... What is this crap about, like, don't stop things? Real. You're playing right into Lior's, like, I never finish anything, blah, blah, blah. I didn't watch the last...
No, I'm saying, if you want to read some cheesy 80s nostalgia...
Yeah, that's exactly. It's
cloaked
a popcorn.
In near-future dystopia, which actually doesn't deal with any real dystopian themes in any possible way. If you want some cheesy 80s nostalgia, read the book.
It's a
Don't
popcorn
read the last
flick.
Chapter.
It's totally a popcorn flick.
It's a popcorn flick that you should not watch the last 10 minutes of.
Like most popcorn flicks.
Yeah, well.
That's probably true. Okay, I'm spent on Ready Player One. I think that was like half an hour of me ranting about it, so.
It's interesting because I thought there was going to be a whole bunch of feminist tension. Because, like, kind of in the end, like, his whole purpose in life is to get with the girl. Even though she's sort of written not that way. So I was expecting to have that discussion, which is interesting that we didn't. So that's cool.
I did mention that it made me angry that the whole point was to, you know, get a girl and have sex.
I guess he did say that.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I chalked some of that up to him being like a 16-year-old boy and it being from his perspective and that being good or bad or whatever, but like, you know.
To be honest, I was ready to go on that tack, but the whole reveal of H at the end of being a black girl, I was like, okay, I will, the smallest modicum of credit, I will not rant about manic pixie dream girl Artemis.
But she, okay, that's fine. She was her, I don't know. I think they, like, he went out of his way to say that her avatar was not sort of traditionally hot.
Doesn't matter. She was still a manic pixie dream girl.
And he still wanted her to, like, you know, fix his life.
That's true. He definitely did.
By touching his penis.
But it was nerd bait, right? So he's like, she's not too hot because if she's too hot, she won't like the nerds. So she's got to be kind of, you know, overweight or whatever because I think short is what
they
said. Yeah,
and you got to make sure there's, you know, some negging you can get in there.
So. Reddit player one. Thank you. Said to repeat that because it was that good. Okay.
That was pretty good. I'm really glad I didn't think of it.
Yeah, thanks.
Me too. That was pretty good. Except I liked it, so I couldn't have given it that name.
I basically just set up this whole podcast so I could use that line. It was worth it. It was worth it. I regret nothing. So anyway,
there's no transition. That's that we've ruined the segue.
I know. We have no segue. So Wildstar happened.
Do we ever have segues?
Yes. Sometimes we have perfect segues and Lior ruins them.
Speaking of feminist tension.
Nice.
Wildstar patch.
There was a new patch in Wildstar. This was a huge, huge, huge patch, particularly considering they're going to launch the game on June 3rd. They completely redid the UI, and all of a sudden they added body model choices. Oh my god. So every race and gender has about 6 to 8 different choices for body types.
I think it's 9.
9. Okay, there you go. If you
it's
take
an
a,
odd number, that's all.
6 to 9, whatever.
They're not huge changes, but they are definitely some variations. There are actual models that do not look like they are storing all their organs in their boobs, so that is progress. You can have big hips and a small chest or blah, blah, blah. And I am actually really pleased with Carbine for listening to people and for burning the midnight oil and for getting this out, because I follow some of their art department people on Twitter, and this was not something they had planned. This was definitely responding to people, and they have been working really hard to get this out right before launch. I was surprised to see they did it, and good on them.
Yeah.
I was also surprised to see it, which is kind of sad.
I
was not expecting that, to ever change, ever.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and they kind of snuck it in, too. They didn't make a big deal of it. They just sort of, like, had a single line in this massive patch notes that said all races have updated character models or something like that available, or additional body choices customization. And, you know, the only part of it that I worry a little bit about is... First of all, I like the new models, both men and the females and male models are both cool, and I found new ones that I like in all of them, and they've made all of the races more attractive to me. Even the Granach, who I really didn't like before, there's now a Granach that I kind of like, and it happens to be the one that's even more exaggeratedly over the top, whatever. But, you know, I wonder if there's like a little bit of that psychological thing anchoring going on, where like before all of the models were shitty and now the models are slightly less shitty, so we're like, oh, they're awesome and we're really glad.
They're not. I mean, there actually is a tomboy Auron, which made me pretty happy. Reasonably flat chested. I mean, she's still got boobs, but she's gone down from an H to a B, so
right.
And right. Like the Makari still look completely terrible. There was no visual change I could see, except some of them were inflated slightly more. That I think is probably the fault of the Barbie heels, kind of exacerbate everything else with that model.
Yeah, and their actually their character builder screen, the posing in the character builder screen is different from it the way that it is in game, and I think that makes it look even worse, because she's definitely doing a like hand on hip other hip stuck out sort of pose in the character builder screen, and that's not how she like stands at rest in the game.
I do remember, like, I tried to play a Mordesh earlier in beta, and the way that model was posed, I mean, I work for a medical device company that deals with spinal problems. So I looked at her and I was like, holy shit, that is a T3 deformity.
And yeah, I mean, yeah, I haven't looked too closely at the way that they run and walk, and I know that that was an issue before too. But you know, even outside of all of that stuff, I'm just really glad that they did respond to the community.
Me too. That is a big deal.
And you know, and I have actually heard a number of people who like were definitely not going to play it might play it now, which is a big upgrade for me because. Might is a possibility, and I'm definitely not. That sucks if it's a game that I want to play for gameplay reasons.
I agree. Even if the actual changes were not that drastic, it really speaks volumes to me about Carbine and the fact that they listened to what people were saying and they responded to it with such a tight deadline. That shows a lot of good. That gives it's a lot of goodwill. I feel a lot of goodwill towards them for that, and you know, I think that makes me. Even more happy to play the game when it comes out.
Yeah, I hope they I hope they stick with it. I mean, they've been really responsive and the interaction has been super good all throughout the beta process, like going back pretty far in the beta process that I'm aware of. And the other part of it is, you know, I kind of just hope it's not another try-on situation where we all like are super happy with their responses to things and then at some point like they sort of burn us.
Hey, we got like 2 or 3 good years of try-on, okay?
We did. And honestly, if we get 2 or 3 good years of Carbine, Wildstar, whatever, I'll be pretty happy.
Absolutely. So, aside from that, have you guys had a chance to play the new UI this weekend?
Just a little.
I did not.
It is so much better. It is definitely better. The game is still, it feels a little busy, kind of, and I think, yeah. I mean, partially it's just that things don't pop up where I expect them to be, which is just a matter of I'm just gonna have to get used to the fact that, you know, tooltips are on the left side of the screen and not the right side of the screen,
or wait for like, you know, a couple of weeks and their UI is way more moddable than WoW's is, and WoW's is pretty moddable, so somebody will build something better.
Absolutely, but it definitely looks a lot better now. It makes a lot more sense. I definitely have been able to use it a lot more instead of searching around for what I wanted to find, so that is good too. That's another big change. I mean, you know, that's a pretty huge change at the last minute as well.
This is the second or third major UI revamp that they've done, so I'm glad that they're getting it right. And I'm glad that the latest versions are the best versions.
Yes.
Right? Like I would feel really bad if I had preferred one of the earlier versions and they kept changing it and didn't bring back the things I liked from the before.
Yeah. So at this stage, we've already pre-ordered the game. You know, this is probably going to be the last big patch of changes. Are we all still comfortable with having pre-ordered the game?
I actually haven't pre-ordered it yet because I'm moving then. But I probably will at some point, eventually.
I'm planning to buy it and play it release day, so I may as well pre-order it, I guess. I don't know. I struggle with pre-ordering things too far out anymore. There's so many things to pre-order. I would just like have all of my money tied up and not actually make the decisions actively. So I'm still planning to buy it and play it, and I know we have a bunch of friends that are planning to buy it and play it, which is not a small part of the reason that I want to play it.
Yes, absolutely. Let's move on to discuss what we've been playing lately. Elyndriel, what have you been playing lately?
Those of you who watched the video portion of the podcast may have noticed early on that I was holding up my screen, my phone, showing Arrow my sweet, sweet mask in Blood Mask, the iOS game that she's talked about. I haven't actually played a ton of it, but I have played a few hours of it at least, and it's like hilariously good bad.
Right? It has no right to be as much fun as it is.
It feels sort of like Infinity Blade, but a little bit better. I don't know if you ever played any of the Infinity Blade games. So I played that a bit. I played, I actually have been playing Batman Arkham Origins. That's sort of my primary game when I'm not playing WoW right now. I just had like started 4 or 5 different games and like hadn't finished any that were on my backlog, and I was like, you know what, screw it, I'm just gonna go right through. So I'm like maybe 10 hours into it. It's pretty fun. It says I'm like 30%. I don't know, it feels a lot like previous Batman games, but more of the same. less well written, different voice actors, and the world's pretty similar to the previous one, but it's still fun to really fun to beat people up in the Batman way.
Nice. All right, Arrow, what have you been playing?
Still, I have no computer right now. Orange Lady has a brother named Orange Lady's Brother.
Is that his actual name?
No, his actual name is something that the random generator came up. Oh,
that's sad.
But also, there's no room for that.
Can you get Orange Lady into the name thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, there's enough room for Orange Lady, just not Orange Lady's brother.
Okay, fair enough.
He's a Sith sorcerer. Force lightning is her new favorite thing. She cannot stop laughing. It's amazing. Especially since Force Lightning is button one, so she just slams button one over and over and over.
Yeah, that's easy. Are you in charge of walking, and she's in charge of shooting guys?
Oh, no. She does the walking, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Occasionally, I have to help her reorient the mouse, because sure. She's looking either at her feet or at the ceiling.
Right.
That happens to the best of us.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. But usually only when we're drunk. So, being a toddler, pretty much exactly the same. So my primary gaming has been phone-based, still playing the shit out of Blood Mask, because it is so hilariously good bad. And actually, if you go to, where is it? If you go to Barracks and Enlist, it actually gives you your ID in a readable form.
Oh, cool.
And my ID is 3-1230-0765.
I was going to go for my phone to write it down, but I'll just get it from you later.
You can listen to the podcast.
Then I have to listen to the podcast.
Someone doesn't listen to his own podcast.
Does anybody ever listen to their own podcast?
Yes,
but you edit it, so it doesn't count.
No, but I listen to it after. Sometimes I even listen to it twice.
It's a lot of time spent on the same conversations.
I like to think about how to get better in the future.
Sometimes I'm interested to hear how Lior manages to edit this into something coherent.
That's fair. I do listen occasionally, and every time I just want to have another argument with you guys. or I'm like, why the hell did Lior cut out my best point?
I remember when he made the sad face at Elegumentative? Yeah, that's the...
That's an interesting question. Yes, we have listeners. We have coined the term Elegumentative, and you can imagine how that is used in a sentence.
It's like this. Stop being so elegumentative.
Exactly. The specific definition is to nitpick your way into a nerd fight out of boredom.
And I totally don't do that.
No actual investment in the topic whatsoever. Like, for example, arguing about when exactly you clap.
That's not funny.
I think it's pretty funny because I brought the clapping to the show. So I feel like I should get to define when you get to clap or not.
Oh!
So that is apparently, like, elegumentative inception, because it was your idea and you still have to argue it. So I need a new word.
Well, because you're making it
for
wrong.
For nitpicking your way into a nerd fight out of boredom, which is created on a subject that you yourself started.
You're in charge of clapping from now on. You are in charge of leading the clap. Let's see how you like it. Try to make this band of misfits clap at the same time. There's only three of us. How is it possible? Well, we can't do it. Anyway, Arrow, have you been playing anything else this week?
No, it's about... Oh, I've been... every now and then I get time around bedtime. I'm playing through the HD remaster of Final Fantasy X.
Nice.
Which is awesome.
I heard great things.
It is so beautiful.
I heard it looks like it was designed for the PS3.
It's so beautiful. So very, very beautiful. Highly recommend it, especially since it's only like $8.
I have Radiant Historia and Final Fantasy VI sitting on my desk ready to play. I haven't played a JRPG in ages, so that's going to be like 100 hours of time sunk into games that I have not played.
You're never going to play that.
I totally am, because it gives me an excuse to pick up the DS, which I also haven't used in like 2 years. And if I play it enough, then I might be able to convince myself that I want to buy a Vita.
I love my Vita so much. I love it.
But you don't have a phone with games on it.
I have games on my Android phone. There are games for Android.
Are there?
Like Pac-Man?
No!
No, they just come out like a year and a half after anybody cares about them.
Well, I have been playing Well, we talked about Parasite Eve a couple weeks ago for our influential game, so I bought that for my Vita. So that's been my new bedtime game. I lie in bed and play Parasite Eve on my Vita, and it is still awesome, even though I haven't played it in 15 years.
So is it good. Scary?
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's no Silent Hill.
Yeah, it's not Silent Hill or anything. I mean, occasionally, like, a rat turns into a monster, but it's not, like, really scary. No.
I got so freaked out in Resident Evil 2 when you go into the basement of the police station and one of the rabid dogs, like, jumps out and there's a huge jump scare. It just, like, bangs against the thing. But I was playing in my basement with all of the lights turned off and the sound way up, and that happened, and I'm jumpy anyway. So then, like, it's hard to play those games before bed now.
Yeah, no, I will never forget playing, like, playing Silent Hill the first time you're, like, at the school and it becomes night, and you're just like, what the hell? why is everything full of, like, tiny bloody children now? What is going on? That was terrifying. But the real thing I've been playing a lot lately is the Arc Age Alpha. It's the Trion Worlds North American version of the Korean game, and it's super-duper fun, you guys. I'm really enjoying it. The questing's a lot like WoW, but, I mean, you don't care about questing in Arcage. I mean, you sort of do to level up, but it's not the purpose of the game. The purpose of the game is to make a farm and raise chickens and trade commodities with other continents and, I don't know, build a hang glider and glide around and look for people's crops to steal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's hang gliders in that game. I think that's a cool way to do flight.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So it's very much, it sort of starts out very theme park and then opens up really sandboxy in the later game. So instead of, you know, moving on to dungeons and raids and whatnot, although there are apparently dungeons, but that's not the whole point of the game. The whole point of the game is to form small communities and families and guilds and to work together to build houses and castles and craft and farm livestock and plants and trees and then put together trading and, you know, make money by trading with other parts of the world. And of course, you make better money the more difficult it is to get to other parts of the world. And I mean, you could be a pirate if you want. You could do all kinds of crazy stuff. You could be a songwriter. You can, I mean, it's very, very, very open-ended, and I think it's going to be so cool.
I thought part of the point that you left off there was to make Core jealous about how you're in the alpha and he's not.
Oh, but he just really likes it when we talk about him on the show. So I try not to mention him because it goes to his head. We don't like you, Core. We do.
Also, somebody's in Arcage beta and it's not you.
Alpha, come on now. Let's not take away my glory here, Alpha.
Right, because at some point you'll be able to pre-buy the game so that you can get into beta.
Probably. I'm sure. Yeah, no, that's the world we live in now. But yeah, no, it's really fun. I actually did not think I was going to like it as much as I did, and I got it, and I was actually out of town, and I installed it on my boyfriend's computer, and then ignored him completely for like the next 4 hours to play Arcade. He's like, are you ignoring me to raise chickens? I'm like, shut up! I need eggs. So yeah, it totally sucked me in. It's the perfect combination of, like, I don't want to say city builder necessarily because it's not that in depth, but like the building and the crafting with the World of Warcraft together is totally catnip for me.
How's the building work? Is it like set pieces that you place, or is it like Rift,
yeah,
or...
it is set pieces, so you're buying a particular wall or you buy a particular wallpaper. You can import patterns from outside of the game to make your walls and your t-shirts and things like that. So I could wear a Cat Context logo on my t-shirt. That's important.
I feel like that's going to go on the sign outside of the family farm.
Yes, that is definitely going to do so. I love the idea of families, which is just like small, you know, groups of like 4 to 6 players that band together to sort of focus on one area. I think that's really cool because that's exactly the kind of size that I'd like to play.
I like that kind of building better than total freeform landmark building because I am a lot less creative in landmark than I am in pick these Lego pieces and put them together.
Right, yeah. Landmark's like, here's a whole bunch of stone. You can do anything you want with them. Whereas Arcage is more like, okay, well, you can make a stone wall A or stone wall B or, you know, maybe a half wall. And it for people like us who are not necessarily artistic geniuses, it works a little better to build something that looks like a house and not like a lump of dirt.
Well, we're not like 3D artist geniuses. I wouldn't go so far to say that we're not artistic.
I said artistic geniuses.
Well,
but
this
maybe
podcast,
you are.
This podcast is evidence of our artistic genius.
Oh, sorry.
I was trying to give us all a compliment, but had to go and take it away.
This is why we can't have nice things. By the way, no, it's super duper fun. I will definitely be talking more about it because I liked it to a surprising degree. So, yeah, cool. I have to log on and feed my chickens.
Oh, how often do you have to do that?
It's not punishing, but it is a game that you're going to want to log on like every couple of days just to kind of tend your crops and feed your livestock. So, you know, keep that in mind. It is an Eastern game, so they do tend to require a little more.
Great. What happens when you go on vacation?
Someone else in your family can look after your chickens for you.
Okay.
Yes, that is the pain of the living world, is your chickens. I mean, or you can let your chickens die. I mean, I don't know, chickens are cheap, so whatever.
This is like, is this going to be like, have a bunch of feel-bad moments, like when your Tamagotchi dies?
I used to have a Pikachu version of that, and it was really terrible.
I have killed my Tamagotchis before, I guess. I have not yet killed a chicken, so far so good. I have seen people, there's a little area where a whole bunch of us newbies threw our first farms down, and there's a lot of people with diseased sheep for some reason, and I feel a little bad for them, but they're still upright, so it's got to be okay.
Until they infect your sheep and then your chickens.
I know. If I start getting diseased eggs, there's going to be trouble in Arc Age. But anyway, super duper fun. So if you have a chance to get into the alpha, I'd say do so. There's also lots. They're really emphasizing people getting invites who are streamers. So if you're a Twitch person, you can see it on Twitch. Okay, that's it. I think that's our entire podcast.
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, sweet. So I mentioned earlier that we are coming up on our 2-year anniversary. It is going to be live exactly a week from now, which, let me check my date again, is April 27th, 6:30 p.m. PST on our Twitch channel. I will put a bunch of information in the show notes. But we want to get your questions. So go ahead, ask us whatever the heck you want about, I don't know, what our influential games or things that we've played or why Ellie is so eligumentative. You can ask us. You can contact me at Leores, L-I-O-R-E-S, on Twitter. You can stop by my blog at LeoreBlog and leave a comment. You can email us at podcast@leoreblog.com. You can leave a voicemail if you go to LeoreBlog. There is a tab to do that. Pretty much any way, you can send me a carrier pigeon. I don't care. Just get your questions to us. Add any information you want us to read out, like your blog URL or whatever, and we will do so. And we're really excited. 2 years, you guys.
That's a long time.
It is. That's a lot of eloquence.
I'm totally not that bad. Whatever. Shut up.
It is a long time,
and yet you have done it like 6 times in this podcast alone.
And I will continue to do it.
I feel, you know, I mean, this is, I feel like we're actually legit. 2 years is, you know, we're a middle-aged podcast now.
We have like a schedule and we're mostly adhere to it. And
I know. We've done very, very well. So, yeah, we would love to see you live, definitely, in Twitch, or just contact us and give us your questions. And thank you very much for watching and listening for the last 2 years, because it's been super-duper fun. So that is it for the show. You can reach Alindriel at ThatAngryDwarf on Twitter, even though he doesn't really talk that much. Or you can reach Aerolade at Aerolade on Twitter, and she puts adorable stories about Orange Lady on there. So
Orange Lady's pretty great.
I totally get into fights with Leora on Twitter. That's pretty much all I do.
I know. We're talking in IRC, and I'm like, someone said blah, blah, blah on Twitter, and then you get on Twitter, and you're like, I think you're stupid, Leora. I'm like, really? Thanks, social media? Anyway, that's it for this episode. Thank you very much for watching and listening, and we will be back in a week for our second anniversary show. Bye!
Bye-bye!
Bye.